Hello and welcome to the Ben Cotton Podcast, a brief and weekly encouragement for your Wednesday morning. I hope you're doing well. This is episode 17. And today we're talking about brokenness, weakness, all the things everybody loves to think about. But we're all weak. We're all broken people that need a lot of help. And today we're going to talk about why that's important in the life of a Christian to admit openly and to consider and even maybe embrace our weakness in a sense. And so we're going to talk through that this morning. Hope you enjoy it. Let's get into it. So think about this. Jesus came for the weak and the broken. That's who he came for. He came for the poor in spirit. He said, "Blessed are the poor." Blessed are the poor in spirit, we could say. He did not come to the strong or the whole or the rich in spirit. He doesn't need our strength because he's the strong one. If you think about your relationship with God, who's the strong one in the relationship? It's certainly not you. No matter how strong you think you are, you're not the strong one in that relationship. He is. He doesn't need our strength. In fact, I think quite often our strengths get in the way more than our weaknesses do. And that's maybe hard for you to think about or to consider, but it's not that hard when you consider who God is and who you are. Our strengths can deceive us into thinking we can get along just fine on our own. And that maybe what we need God for is to just sort of help us along the journey, but we can get most of the way there under our own steam. Like sort of like, I'll meet God halfway. God helps those that help themselves. You know, that's not even in the Bible, right? That's not a Christian truth at all. The gospel is sort of the opposite, which is you can't meet God halfway. He doesn't come and say, okay, I came halfway, now you meet me. He comes all the way to us. He's the strong one, we're not. Jesus avoided the proud, the religious, and the strong in his ministry while he was on the earth. He worked actually very hard to avoid the strong and the religious and the proud. And when he couldn't just outright avoid them, he did everything he could to drive them away by saying really hard things to them and being offensive or obscure to them. He did not want those people around him, and he didn't want to be around them. Who he came for, and when he was asked about it, what he would say is, I'm the great physician. I came to heal the sick. I'm not interested in the healthy. I'm not interested in the proud. I'm interested in the humble. And so that's how Paul can then say that he boasts only in his weakness because God is strong in his weakness. He's not boasting in his weakness alone. He's boasting in his weakness because God is strong in his weakness. His weakness then becomes a testimony of the glory of God and the power of the gospel to redeem his life. And that's a profound truth. And all this reminds me of a story from a long time ago, back when I was sort of on a long-term missions trip over in England, volunteering in a church that did a ministry to drug addicts in the area. Actually, they did it all over the world, but I was just in Britain at their site there. And I remember I was pretty young and naive. I thought that I didn't understand this weakness-strength dynamic at all. And I kind of had this very naive assumption that the people who were the greatest candidates for the gospel were people that maybe already had a church background like I had and were already relatively well put together and just needed a little bit of help. But I remember being very quickly dissuaded of that notion because what I discovered was the opposite, that it was the people that thought they had it together that were the hardest. And I remember seeing this kind of the memory that sticks out to me the most is when a young man, probably about my age at the time, came in one evening and wanted to check in and get some help with a drug addiction. And we sat down, me and this leader there named Eduardo, who was from Spain and had been an addict himself, and God had done all this stuff in his life that was pretty amazing. And he was now one of the leaders in this ministry. And he was doing the entrance interview where you sit the guy down and you ask him questions about why he's there. And I'm very excited. that this is kind of my first interview and I'm excited to kind of get in there and help somebody. And this guy looks like he's pretty promising. And Eduardo begins to ask him questions about his addiction and his life and his circumstances and things like that. And the guy's answering, and turns out this young man was, I shouldn't say young man. I think it was about my age, but he was a youth minister at a local church. It was not that far away. And he was also a cocaine addict, and he was also selling cocaine so that he could make enough money to support his habit, because that way he could keep the money that he was making selling it hidden from his wife, so that his wife and family and obviously his pastor and church would not know that he had a drug problem. So it's a pretty good scheme if you want to hide something, as he was selling the thing he was addicted to so that he could fund his addiction. And when Eduardo asked him, well, have you been selling drugs to the kids in your youth group? He wasn't really sure. He couldn't tell, because he was selling the drug so close to the church. If I remember right, he was saying just a block away at times, that he wasn't even sure if he had sold drugs to people in his youth group. And this is not that unheard of. Addiction, this is the way addiction works. But I remember Eduardo's reaction was really interesting, because as this guy was talking about what he needed help with, he kept saying things like, you know, this is just the one area in my life where I just need some discipleship. I just have this one thing, this addiction that I just need help with. And if I could only deal with this one thing, then my life would be better and I could, I'd be okay. And finally, Eduardo interrupts him and says, you're a liar. That's all you've been doing since you walked in here and sat down in front of me. You're lying. You're not just lying. You are a liar. You're lying to everyone. You're lying to me. You're lying to Ben. You're lying to your family, your wife, your kids. You're lying to your church. That's who you are. You are at your essence a liar. It is what you are. And do not lie to me anymore. And I'm sitting there here. He's saying this. He's pointing at the guy in his face. Eduardo is a real short guy. And he's pointing at this guy right in his face saying, you're a liar, man. You're a liar. Stop lying to me. And I was honestly offended by that approach, because I didn't see any of that. But Eduardo was right. And when he said that to this man, he just stood up and he got offended and he got mad. He said, I'm not lying to you. And he walked out. Took all of 30 minutes. And I was looked at Eduardo like, man, that was messed up. Like, why are you so hard on the guy? You don't know him. How, you know? And I didn't say that. I was thinking it. And Eduardo tells me he just wasn't ready. He wasn't ready. He was full of himself. He was full of religion, full of, I'm okay. I don't really need that much help. I don't have a big problem. The problem doesn't go down to the core of who I am. The problem is just a surfacey thing. I just need a little tweaking, a little topping up of the spiritual tank. And I'll be fine. I'm not really weak and broken. I'm a strong person. I just have this one little strange aberration in my character that I need help with. And Eduardo wasn't going to have it. And contrast that with, this in the same week, if I remember right, in the same week, another guy came in that they literally found in the gutter in the city. And just said, do you want a place to sleep? And this man had been shooting up heroin for over 20 years, every day, multiple times a day. It's probably the worst addict any of us had ever seen. He looked like he was about to die. He looked like he was not eating anything or consuming anything at all except for heroin. It was unbelievable, this guy. Physically, mentally, spiritually, emotionally broken to pieces. Just laying in the street. And they scooped him up, put him in the van, and brought him in. And within a couple of weeks, he was off the drugs. He was through withdrawal. And he became a believer. He became a follower of Jesus, had a genuine conversion. And I remember him we had a morning devotion. He became a Christian. It's like he just heard the gospel, really heard it for the first time, and just asked Jesus in. And he went upstairs and he took a shower and he shaved and he cut his hair and he came downstairs for breakfast. And it was like just the light had come on in his personality. He was laughing. He was talking for the first time. It was the first time I'd heard him even speak. He was carrying on real conversations. It's like he had come alive and been reborn. And his growth and maturing to be more like Jesus in his spiritual life and in his the rest of his life from that point forward was exponential. It was unbelievably fast. I could not believe week in and week out, just in a few days, how much he was growing and he consuming the word and praying with people. And it was just unbelievable. It blew my mind. And I remember God kind of in my heart pointing out to me the contrast between those two people. One man came in thinking he was okay except for one thing, refusing to admit his brokenness and weakness. Another man came in unable to refute the fact that he was broken in every way. And which one actually heard the gospel? Which one actually received Christ really and began to follow him? It certainly wasn't the proud man. And that blew my mind. And it still does, that the most open people to the gospel are not the people that we think are the most open. The most open people to the gospel are the broken, because those are the ones that Jesus came for. He came for them. And they are the richest soil to receive the seeds of the gospel of anyone else on the planet. So I think this applies to all of us. Well, even if you're not a drug addict, it applies to everybody. So, you know, don't fool yourself. You see, don't fool yourself. God doesn't need your strength. He doesn't need it. He's not begging you to be strong for him. He doesn't need your strength. In fact, it's probably getting in your way more so than your weaknesses. Your works, another way to put it, your works apart from Christ are filthy rags to God. Filthy, stinking rags. So it's not just that your works apart from Christ are unhelpful. It's that your works apart from Christ are an offense to the nostrils of God. It's gross to him. So let the gospel saturate your thinking here. Let it saturate your thinking that you would begin to look at your weaknesses like Paul did. And the way God does, where each one is an opportunity for the redemption of Jesus to be displayed in your life, instead of your strength being on display in your life, that the redemption of Christ would be on display, and the only way that can happen is your weakness. And maybe conversely, repent of your pride and thinking that you're going to meet God halfway somehow. Because you can't even get started. You can't get off the starting line without God, much less meet him halfway. So I think sometimes we need to repent of our strengths as much as we need to repent of our weakness. It is our weakness that qualifies us for the gospel. It is our weakness that qualifies us for grace. It is our weakness that gets us into the room, into the throne room of God, because it is our weakness where Jesus is strong, and it's in our weakness where God is most glorified in us. So don't be embarrassed, don't be ashamed, boast, be like Paul, boast in your weakness. I know you can take this too far and say, well, I'm going to boast in my sinfulness. No, that's not what he's talking about, because we don't stay broken, do we? God heals us and restores us, and that's what it means for him to be strong in our weakness. So go out, be encouraged. I hope you have a great week. We'll see you next time. And hey, if you got a lot out of this episode or anything at all out of this episode, it would actually help a lot if you shared it online with your friends. They can check it out too. And if you haven't subscribed yet, or you'd like to see more episodes or read show notes and that kind of thing, you can get all of that at bencotton.net at my website. That is very much appreciated. Thanks.